Welcome back. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. The Baltimore Playwrights Festival turns 35 years old this season. And to mark the anniversary, our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick, sat down with two of the festival's leading lights. Here's their conversation.
The Baltimore Playwrights Festival is one of the older, new play festivals in the United States. It has produced more than 300 plays since it began in 1982, and more than two dozen local theater companies have participated. In recent years, however, the Baltimore Playwrights Festival has begun to shrink. Only three plays were staged in each of the last two seasons. Now, as it prepares to launch its 35th anniversary season, the festival's newly expanded board promises that this will be a season with a difference, several differences. Here in the studio to talk about the Baltimore Playwrights Festival's history, where it's been, and where it's going, are Michael Stricker, the festival's new chair, and Kimberly Lynn, one of its vice chairs. Michael and Kimberly, welcome to Maryland Morning.
Thanks for having us here.
It's marvelous to be here.
Well, let's start by talking about the way the festival has done things traditionally. This is a festival devoted to nurturing new scripts by playwrights with a Maryland connection. Scripts are submitted, some of them get staged readings, some of those get full productions in the summer. I don't think that model has changed much in the last 30-plus years. So, Michael Stricker, tell me how and why that model is changing now.
Well, about a year and a half ago, I just gotten on the board also, was secretary then. The board was starting to look at the festival, seeing that there were fewer theaters that were being involved. The excitement that had been there in the past wasn't there as much, and realized that we needed to either continue as is, try to improve what was, or rethink the festival. So we looked back to our mission, and that was to nurture playwrights, and we had to figure out how to do that. That was a continuing thing. This past winter, we finally decided that we would open it up to, in addition to the full performances, there would be book-in-hand staged performances. And we're also looking to do workshops to help the playwrights improve their craft.
Well, and of course, speaking of book-in-hand stage readings, as you can tell from the name, the Baltimore Playwrights Festival, as you say, Michael, focuses on playwrights. Sometimes scripts are not ready for full production. So, Kimberly Lynn, what do you think a playwright can get from a workshop or a stage reading that might not be as evident in a full production? And maybe here it's a good idea to start by explaining exactly what a stage reading is and how the new crop of readings the festival's going to be offering will differ from the readings that the festival's been doing each fall through spring.
The Baltimore Playwrights Festival has been considering adding stages of development to their whole procedure for many years. And this summer, you know, necessity becomes a mother of invention. And there were a bunch of companies who could not afford, we were all volunteers, to stage a full stage production. And so it becomes actually a lot more interesting for them to have the opportunity for something smaller. But what we're trying to do and trying to ask the theaters to do is to put these little gaps in the readings, because then it becomes almost more like a workshop. As a playwright, I've had seven plays of mine developed through the Baltimore Playwrights Festival, and it's fantastic. They gave me my card as a Dramatists Guild member. And
it was your first full production, if I remember right, done
Brief
by the
Candle.
Playwrights Festival, like
right.
in 1992.
Yeah. And at the end of opening night, John Bruce Johnson handed me a package that was my Dramatists Guild package.
The head of the Vagabonds.
Right.
The head of Vagabonds, exactly.
Yeah. Handed me my membership guild package. It was a beautiful moment, and it felt like the moment I became a playwright. When you're in a full production situation, any full production situation, as a playwright, there comes a certain point when you have to freeze your text and where the actors have to come off book when they are memorizing that text. And the freedom that you have with a stage reading is that they have book in hand. In other words, you can give them changes. For example, right now, I'm working on something at the University of Baltimore that's not attached to the festival, but it's a workshop kind of situation, a reading of a new work. And the playwright's going to give us changes on Friday for Saturday's rehearsal, and you can just substitute those pages. And so you have that opportunity to develop the work as you hear it. And because we've been developing this kind of hybrid at the University of Baltimore at Spotlight UP for a bunch of years, and you can have any kind of range between music stands and chairs and pretty standard and, you know, just stage reading. Or you can actually add some blocking or some lighting or some costumes or some sound. It depends what the piece needs.
You're listening to Maryland Morning. I'm Jay Wynn Russick, and we're talking with Michael Stricker, chair of the Baltimore Playwrights Festival, and Kimberly Lynn, one of the festival's vice chairs. So you've talked about what the advantage can be for the playwrights. Michael, I wondered if you'd say something about what this developmental process, what attending a stage reading has as its appeal for an audience.
Well, it's never been seen before, so it's something brand new. It's something somebody local has written and spent their time with, and it's a work in progress. That person, you know, we have readers that read all the scripts that come in. We limit them to 85 new scripts a year. The readers look through it. Some are picked out for live readings over the winter time, and then after that, theaters get to pick the ones that they want to have on. And, you know, I've read things as they've come in. I've gone to a reading, and it's changed by that point. It's improved from the audience reaction. And then, you know, it goes to a production, and it's improved even more. So you can see it all along the way.
So the audience is really kind of a participant, and part of, besides being able to be the first to see this, they are part of that developmental process in a way.
Oh, sure, because
absolutely.
When you're writing, you're by yourself in that room, and you may say things out loud, and maybe it sounds good, but so many playwrights at the readings we've had over the winter have said, wow, I didn't know that that line could mean that thing. And it really, and audience reaction, they could see what really reached people and what maybe could have been cut. So
I think the American audience wants to be more engaged in the creative process, and that they love that, and they love that kind of contribution. And we have readers who come back to the winter readings. I mean, like readers who read all, you know, did all the vetting in the fall of the new work, and then they come
and they
to
want
to
see how it's changed.
And they want to meet the playwright, exactly.
Sure.
So there's that kind of connection.
Well, this season's first offering is a stage reading of a play called The Room Where I Was Held by David Zaks. And it is being produced by two theaters, both of which are new to the Baltimore Playwrights Festival, Rapid Lemon Productions and Spotlight UB at the University of Baltimore. This is a play that will have two stage readings. The first is on June 11th, and then we have that broad gap you were talking about, Kimberly. The second reading isn't until June 24th. Tell us a little bit about what The Room Where I Was Held is about.
It's a story of post-traumatic stress disorder that a journalist is suffering because he's returned from being held captive by the Taliban, and he's in his parents' living room. And I don't want to, you know, give away too much, but basically there is that parallel between the prison where he was held, and now his parents' living room becomes the, you know, a very similar kind of prison. And he has these flashbacks, unfortunately, to the trauma. And it's a great exploration of veterans returning to America and a consideration of those themes.
So a very urgent theme in that
and
place,
very much
certainly.
So, yeah.
We've been talking with Michael Stricker, Baltimore Playwrights Festival Chair, and Kimberly Lynn, a Vice Chair with the festival. Michael, Kimberly, thank you for joining us
thank
on Maryland
so
Morning.
Much.
Thank you for having us.
You can find links to the Baltimore Playwrights Festival's website and schedule by going to our website, wypr.org, and clicking on the Maryland Morning link. I'm Jay Wynn Russick.
Jay Wynn Russick reviews the theater scene every week for Maryland Morning. That does it for us today. Coming up Friday, my conversation with Jacob Rue, whose investigations into systematic racial bias in Baltimore mortgage lending earned him this year's prestigious John Hope Franklin Award. Our movie mavens Anne Hornaday and Jed Dietz are here with tips on films worth watching this weekend, and the Baltimore Symphony's principal trumpeter Andy Balio on the future of classical music. Till then, thanks for joining us. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.